Let's do it. We're on the road. It's RBKD today on the show. Really get into Texas and Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, almost the Iowa of the Big 12. How are they winning? What does Texas do to win? We expect a lot of winning at the Drum, the final year of the Drum. Get into some Texas hoops and a huge recruiting weekend for Texas. We got pro football as well. We're going to actually get a prediction on the Texas-Oklahoma State game. And John Cusack, what the hell is he doing? Come on, man. You're a Northsider. Get out of here. He went from DB High to DBU, ended up in Detroit. He is in more private clubs. I say that quietly here, considering Mark Westlake. Then a swinger. He's as open-minded as anyone, yet discriminates against white food. He's a football theorist. He's an All-American. He is Rod Babers.
And my co-host, he's a lifetime Longhorn, but first, a lifetime Austinite. A conservative liberal who doesn't discriminate, which is why his dating history looks a lot like a commercial for the Rainbow Coalition. He was a reality TV star before it even was a thing. And yes, he's only got one ball, but more testicular fortitude than you and your whole team. That is my man, my co-host, the estimable Kevin Dunn. What's going on, brother?
I used to come here when it was Tom Thumb. And it was the original school. Tom Thumb was up the road a little bit here on Beat Cave. I mean, just a stone's throw away.
I like that, stone's throw. Well, we don't use that enough.
We don't.
Stone. And how far is a stone's throw?
It depends on your arm, I was about to say. Because I couldn't throw a stone from here to there. But if we got,
Josh Allen. The stone's throw for Josh Allen.
Josh Allen's making that throw. Okay. He may hurdle a couple cars on the way there.
That's true. That's
and a do a look. Little farming.
Yeah.
But it was the original. So Randall's was bought out by Tom Thumb. I will say this, not just because we're here. We are at the Westlake Randall's, 3300 Bee Caves. And you can stop on by. We're registering people for Texas and Oklahoma State tickets, courtesy of Randall's.
It's one of my favorite Randall's.
It's a great one. And this, one. When they first built this, it still is big. But some of the stores we go into, it's got a kind of a homey feel now, but it was gigantic back in the day. But they would give away free cookies. Cookie to a kid.
Free cookies? Yeah. Right when you walk in?
Well, no. You have to go to the bakery. Go to the bakery.
Okay, I was about to say. And that is a hell of a
way to
get
kind of look at you
in.
And you go, how old are you? I'm 9. Why are you shaving? Puberty. Early.
What was the cutoff?
I don't know what the cutoff was.
You're a teenager, basically?
You're probably. Done, teenager, I mean, I think as cookies. A teenager, a couple times we came in and probably tried to get a free cookie, and they're like, get out of here, man.
I wonder if you can go on a busy day, and then you can just, you know, get multiple cookies, kind of change it. Like Jim Harbaugh, change up your outfit, come back and get another cookie.
That's and it would fit for Jim because you can drink milk with it.
That's true. Oh, that's a great point.
Cookies and milk.
Right. That's what Jim Harbaugh said he used to do on Halloween. Said he was so focused as a kid that he would go out, trick-or-treat, go home, change costumes, and go trick-or-hit the same houses again. Suckers. Smart move.
I was like the kid who was 16 and wasn't dressed up, but maybe had like a cheap glove with him, and he's like, I'm a baseball player. Like, all right, man.
He's ironic,
some,
right?
Yeah, you want some candy? Like, take some candy. You're dressed like a normal person like a normal 16-year-old.
Yeah, take some candy and don't egg my house.
Yes, you know, exactly.
Don't toilet paper my damn house, kid.
Don't wrap it.
Yeah, don't wrap my damn
did
house.
You ever wrap houses?
I never did, man.
Oh, we were pros.
I threw a couple of eggs. We were eggers.
We were pros.
Oh.
First off, I feel like everything I've said so far, don't do kids. So you can't
don't
get,
do any
you,
of that.
You can't get the cookie here. But in terms of wrapping, we would go hit up construction sites and because they'd have toilet paper.
Oh, and you would steal the toilet paper from there.
Yes.
You would have, like, a bunch of it.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
the cheap kind, too.
And the cheap kind, too.
Yeah.
Which really sits. And we'd also plan it.
You want the
we'd picture. Also plan it the night before a rain.
Oh.
No,
this is devious. That is. Come
this
on.
Is all we're doing, but, I mean, yeah.
That
no,
is,
it's.
That's hardcore devious. That stuff
devious.
Is so hard to remove.
Yeah.
Especially after it gets wet.
No, now when I drive by and I'll see a house that's been wrapped, I just think, oh, God, what were we doing? Those poor people.
They upset the neighborhood kids. You can't upset the neighborhood kids.
That
man.
Was it. It wasn't like, good candy.
It wasn't good candy.
If we didn't get candy, we'd look at each other and go, November, a November job here.
Yeah. Or you've been mean throughout the year to the kids.
Right.
Be nice to the kids in the neighborhood, man. Are they gonna get you?
Get out of my yard. You're playing yard football. But you have the best yard.
You have the best yard. Your yard's really nice. I like your yard.
You're 70. You're by yourself. Enjoy us playing out here. One of us could be the next Drew Brees. We're not.
come out here and be an all-time quarterback.
How about that? Yeah, exactly.
Solve the problem. We ain't got the numbers.
Let's see that stone's throw. Let's see exactly.
Bring it full circle. Well done.
There you go.
Well done.
That's
where we finish it. The circle is complete. There you go.
Just 5 minutes. We are at Randall's here, 3300 B Caves, Texas, Oklahoma State. One thing I like about this Randall's is that usually you can get in and get out.
Yeah.
You can see it. You can feel that, right? It's a calm layout.
Yeah, it is.
Sometimes you get to a frenetic store, and it's like, all right, this is going to be
a lot. Well, now the stores are all like, you know, they're like bizarre. So like fake.
Right.
They got so much stuff going on. Like you can just, they want you to get distracted.
Right.
They want you to start, oh, man, you know what? Maybe I need to go do this. Maybe I need to go do that. Here you can focus.
What are you doing here? I'm getting my prostate checked. What? Where's that?
They got everything happening. Exactly. You go to the eye doctor. You can do all kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
And there's lots of stuff to do here, including we got Demetrius here and also Trevor. And Trevor's already eating right now. Trevor got some, looked like chicken nuggets. And we all asked him. He said teriyaki. Teriyaki's my go-to on that. You said your go-to is orange chicken.
Oh, orange chicken is the go-to.
I got you.
Oh, man. If there's some orange chicken around, I'm on it.
Chinese buffets. I would definitely hit up the orange chicken.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Anytime I go get Chinese food, the orange
I told you I would ask for red chicken.
Is red chicken a thing?
No, it's not.
It should.
It should be. I think it starts red, and then they add something to make it a little bit orange. There's a lot of stuff to get into today. Obviously, we're getting you ready for Texas and Oklahoma State. You can come up here and sign up for tickets if you would like that. We've got some bobbleheads as well. Elvis Andrus. Who else do we have here? Joey Gallo.
So pretty much all
your big-time stars that aren't with the Rangers anymore. I know Andrus is
that makes them more
drop down.
Doesn't it make them more valuable?
I would think so. You're not going to get any.
They're not making any more
Joey Gallo bobbleheads.
The rarity, I think.
Not for the Rangers.
More valuable, so there you go.
So stop on by. Come say hi. Rod, we get ready for Texas and Oklahoma State. We like to dive in and get in deep and get into – specific matchups and coordinators and all that stuff, and we will, obviously. But just kind of pulling back here a little bit, it's Sark's first year. There's only so much you can tell with the first year. I've talked about it being an eyeball year a lot. But sometimes
I think you were right about that, too.
It's an eyeball year.
In the end, we don't know how many games they're going to end up losing or winning in the end here, but think about the first – we're at the halfway point, right?
So right.
Think about the first half sample size. You had a win over a ranked team.
Yeah.
It was a Sun Belt team, group of five, but still win over ranked
really
team.
Really solid win. All three units outplayed the other.
That's exactly right. Solid win.
Coaching outcoached them.
That was never in doubt. There was never any doubt they were going to beat Louisiana.
We're in the second quarter, and it was Texas is winning this.
Seemed like before that. I feel like, man, Texas is going to win this game. And I thought, honestly, they might run away with it. They didn't run away with it, but they won by a commanding win. And then you go to Arkansas. All right, I'm not going to get into that, but we know what Arkansas was. It was a wholesale failure, right?
What happened there?
And all three phases failed in that game, right?
No, we don't need to hit that.
And then you have to change quarterbacks. So you got a quarterback change. Then you get to Spark. And you have two straight games, Rice and Texas Tech. Well, you don't even have to punt.
Yeah.
First time in Texas football history where you go through straight games without punting.
And they've played cupcakes like that before with good teams, with good Texas teams.
2005 Texas played some cupcakes in the beginning, and they never went two consecutive games without punting. That's crazy.
Right.
So the offense was clicking. They were rolling.
Who was that, Richmond McGee? Was that Greg? Is that the lefty Greg Johnson? Certainly the 05 punter. We saw him like three times.
No, you're right about that. I don't even know who it was.
Right.
I think you might be right about Richmond McGee. So that rings a bell, but I could be wrong. I could be way off about that. Sorry, Richmond. I don't want to disrespect you.
Point is, they never punted.
They didn't need to. Exactly. You're talking about one of the greatest offenses in the history of college football, and they didn't have consecutive games without punting. That's my point. So then you get into, after that, you have the TCU game, which Bijan. I mean, that game was – that's one game Bijan was like, all right.
Bijan.
You won it because Bijan is just so remarkable. And it ain't going to be the last game you win because he's just that extraordinary. And then we got the Oklahoma game, which is you have the great – one of the greatest first quarters in the history of Texas football – for the Texas OU game. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a better. It was an amazing first quarter for Texas football.
Oh, sure, it was. It was great.
It was. Longhorn fans out there had caught. My mom calls the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
They had caught the burnt orange Holy Ghost out there. They were speaking in tongues.
They were
watching that first quarter.
Can I tell you the other best first quarter I remember in Texas OU in my lifetime?
Is it better than that?
It's right around there. 95. And they get out 21-0.
Okay, but then that is better.
And they blew that 21 lead and tied. Remember? That's where we get into all that.
Yeah, you said you brought that up on Monday.
Dude, Sean Mitchell goes right, then cuts left, and goes 70 or 80.
I didn't know it was 21-0.
Oh, it was. Let's get this going, baby.
And what did the score end up being?
I think 24-24.
Wow. Man, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
This one was worse
because you end up losing the game. But think about that. How can you as a Longhorn fan process all that? You can't.
You can't.
You can't process all that in real time. You gotta wait in retrospect. So these next six games, I think, are going to be huge for you, what you called the eye test. And I think you're totally right. There's no way we're going to be able to judge it on just wins and losses alone, on just stats alone. You got to watch the games. And if you're a real Longhorn fan, you know if the team is better.
Right. So
you know.
So Rod, by that we mean they could be 8-4, and you may be happier than if they were 9-3. I know that sounds odd.
Yes.
But if you watch football and you see it and you go, no, we're moving in the right direction.
Exactly.
Remember Notre Dame in, I think, 87 went, was it like 7-5? Or maybe in 86. But you could feel it with Holtz. And I thought, oh, my God. Like,
yeah,
this thing's going to turn.
Yeah, and the team is better.
They are better.
So you got less penalties. The offense now features. The offense makes sense now, right?
It totally makes
sense. Tom Herman's offense, it was a failure.
Even when it doesn't work, it makes sense.
Yes, it was a failure of imagination and a lack of
common
sense.
His would work and wouldn't make sense.
It wouldn't make sense. It makes sense. It's logical. It is. I love the offense. I really do. I mean, I can go over a ton of different stats as to why I love it. But Longhorn fans, as KD told you, you love it. You know why, too. Because it features your best players. And defensively, yeah, I mean, you got some work to do. You just got special teams wise. So Jeff Banks, I know that there have been some mistakes on special teams, but that special teams unit is better. It makes more plays. And you had Deshaun Jameson last year.
They've been much better. They're also creating turnovers.
They're creating
on defense.
So special
and special teams.
Yeah. So two out of the three phases of the game, I think you're better based on KD talking about the eye test. I agree. I'm going eye test alone. Oh yeah. And I think that, to me, we have someone here. We're sitting here in Randall's in front of the Cowboys Longhorn section of, and they have a lot of gear here for Longhorns and Cowboys. I don't see any Texan stuff, but I wouldn't put Texan stuff up in my store either.
Longhorn football? Okay.
There's some footballs here.
Because they only have Aggie footballs.
And
I know. Well, no, because the Longhorns are probably sold out.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, you know what? I was going to get offended, and then you broke that down and made me feel good. All the Longhorn footballs are gone. They have Cowboys footballs and Longhorn footballs and, like, A&M footballs.
I wish A&M wouldn't have won because I'd make a Zach Calzada joke right now.
I see a Texas Tech football in there, too. Man, I see the equal opportunity happening here at Randall's, and I appreciate it, I guess. All right, but, yeah, man, I think that for Longhorn fans, just looking at the team right now, it does look better. But all the things I brought up, it's really hard to process all of that. The largest collapse in Texas football history because they've never been up by 21 points and end up losing a game.
Yep.
I mean, the Arkansas game, you lost by more points than Tom Herman ever lost by in the Arkansas game. You know, what does all that mean? I don't know what it means right now. I have no idea. I don't have a big enough sample size to know what it means.
And some of the Texas fans, I guess they're anti-Sark or pro-Herman, or maybe they're just not that. But they keep on pointing out that, you know, they've already lost by the most points they've ever lost by. Well, first year, that's not my determining factor. If you lose by 20 or 19, Tom Herman never had, but lost by 16.
Exactly. And I get people want to bring
that up. Is that like your determining factor after year one?
My point is, it's the ups and downs, right? That was a down period, but then look the next two games, they bounce back, and he makes the quarterback change. He doesn't. What I appreciated about Sark at that time, he was at a crossroads, and it was probably an inopportune time to be at a crossroads in your second game at Texas, but he did not. He wasn't stubborn, right? He decided, you know what? It didn't work versus Arkansas with Hudson Card. I'm going to make the quarterback change right now. I was wrong initially. I made the wrong decision. Now I'm not going to compound that wrong decision. And like I said, because I think Hudson Card's a good quarterback. We know the offensive line right now. It's a I want to be kind. It's a work in progress.
It will. And by the way, I will criticize Sark's eye and Kyle Flood's eye for not recognizing that.
Exactly.
And for getting maybe hooked in with PK on the defensive line.
We should be fair about that, right? They just came from Bama. We expect you to have a realistic evaluation
of drop off.
Exactly. Like, oh man, these guys ain't close to what we got at Bama. But you went into that Arkansas game essentially with the game plan that your offensive line, you could win the line of scrimmage battle.
Yep.
And that is not what we've observed as Longhorn fans. And the reason that a lot of Longhorn fans were on the Casey Thompson bandwagon is not because of Hudson Card was that much better. It's because, no. That offensive line is not going to allow Hudson Card to work.
And Casey Thompson will actually run.
He's an agent of
Casey. Hudson Card has shown that he doesn't.
He wants to stay in the pocket and work, which Sark appreciates.
Right.
That he wants to stay in the pocket
in the ideal situation. And that's what we're finding out this
schedule.
Year. This is not going to be an ideal situation. I'll go back to something I was yelling all preseason. I hope Sark and PK as coordinators understand this is going to be maybe their toughest challenge or one of them.
You did say that, and you know what?
This is not going to be.
PK is definitely his toughest challenge. There ain't no question. For Sark.
No Vita Vea. There's no Greg Gaines. There's no Buda Baker. There's no Byron Jones. There's none of those guys.
No, for PK, it definitely is. PK has had arguably his two worst defensive coordinating performances in the Arkansas game and Oklahoma game. He gave up more points as an FBS defensive coordinator than he ever have versus Oklahoma, more rushing yards, more yards per rush, more, I think it was the second most fourth quarter points he had given up in his career. But that was the worst that I think he's ever had as an FBS coordinator. And Arkansas wasn't far behind that. So I think you're right in that regard that it's been tough for him. Now he's got to adjust. What is he going to do in this game? You know how Oklahoma State wants to beat you offensively.
Yeah.
For PK.
They're incredibly one-dimensional. And I was looking at some stuff today. I mean, it was kind of almost more Oklahoma State. Not propaganda, but notes there. And it was like, he's one of 9 FBS players, Spencer Sanders, averaging more than 195 passing yards and 45 rushing yards per game.
Yeah.
Ranks number 2 in the Big 12. Number 21 in the FBS with 13.95 yards per completion. And the problem is actually completing the passes and getting those done.
Yeah.
Right? And so he is so up, he is so down, and he can be a turnover machine. He had 3 in the win against Baylor. That should have been extended. That should not have been 24-14. But it felt like Spencer Sanders was trying to give that away.
They lose that game if not for that defense.
Oh.
Spencer Sanders was giving that game
to Baylor. And
the defense
on third down, going back and watching them, their defensive line has been really good. That's the biggest difference for me with this team. I mean, they've kind of built some good secondaries, I don't know, the last 5-7 years.
Yeah.
But their defensive line is playing in the other backfield, and on third down, they have been stingy, Rod. This is a good defense. It's a different team. They don't want to get into a shootout. If you're Texas, man, you treat this like a Loyola Marymount team would have treated a game with Hank Gathers and Bo Kimble. Man, we are getting up, and let's get this thing
all
going.
All gas, no brakes. This is a perfect
this is
all
for
gas,
your
no
motto,
brakes game.
For your motto, right.
This is it, right? This is it. This is when you want to try to get as many plays as possible. You want to be as aggressive as possible because you want to force them into a shootout because he's admitted, I don't want to be there with Texas in the shootout.
Yep.
30 points is our threshold. We've only passed 30 points or got to 30 points once this season. That's it for us. Once we get to 30, it's going to be real hard for us. We're going to start pressing. And then we got a quarterback that is mistake prone. The more you press, more mistakes.
Yeah.
Right? Especially when you get one dimension, you get down double digits in a game. So if you're Texas, it'd be awesome if you can get off to a great start like you did versus Oklahoma, because what was the key versus Oklahoma? And even Sark said this. We avoided the long third downs. They had 2 third downs in their first 15 offensive plays that led to 28 points, and they were third and shorts. And that's what you want if you're Texas. You're getting that third and long. Last year, Oklahoma State, best third down defense in the country, in the nation. Nobody was better. I think they're top 10 now. They're top 10 this year.
Yeah.
Maybe 11th or something. They're right.
It depends on what ranking you're looking at,
like,
but they're right around that area.
They're right around there. Like top 15.
Because sometimes they'll give you advanced metrics on that.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
their
third down defense is top 15.
Yeah, and just third down. So you don't want to get into a third down battle. Where you can win this game, honestly, is staying away from third down. And if you do have third down, third and short. You read him third and short, third and medium. You get to third and long will tell the tale in this game. If Texas in third and long gets that defense,
they're going to have problems.
They're going to have problems.
Oklahoma State's number 19 in total defense or 12 in rushing defense. They are 23 in passing efficiency defense, number 4 in scoring defense. No one's put up more than 23 points on them this year. So this is going to be really, let's see what breaks, because Texas offensively has been able to put up points even in their, well, in one of their losses they were. Obviously, Arkansas, to me, they scored 7 points. To be completely honest, I mean, Arkansas completely went to a pass,
soft zone, and allowed
Texas to kind of get back into it, give Casey credit.
They protected the
fighting,
lead.
Protected the lead.
Kind of what Texas couldn't do in Oklahoma game.
But you're right. But, I mean, in that loss, obviously, offense was not the problem. So, this has been a really, really stingy defense. Let's see how the Texas offensive line can function. You got Tope Amade at right guard.
Yeah.
Junior Angalau will move to left guard. And you get Derek Kerstetter back at right tackle. As I said, I do think this is about, you know, you've got to find all five of those guys, and what is the sum going to be? So, yeah, Derek Kerstetter can play guard. Technically, he can play center. But if he's much more efficient, if all of a sudden you're taking a strength or a good number, maybe it's not too much of a plus at right tackle, and you're turning it into more of a negative at left guard, keep him at right tackle. Fill in what you have to fill in. Engelhaus played left guard. But this offensive line, as we've said, and we'll say all year long, Sark's going to have to kind of scheme around them. This is a good Oklahoma State defense, and if this thing is ugly and tight, advantage Oklahoma State.
Yeah, if it's ugly, if it's that ugly, then, yeah, that's what Oklahoma State wants.
Yeah.
They almost, you know, they and I heard Chad actually bring this up, and I totally agree on Trey and Chad. They want to be what K-State was in the Big 12 years ago. They basically want to slow the game down.
That's
to
a good
call, right? And suffocate you with defense and special teams. And offensively, as Mike Gundy told his offensive coordinator Casey Dunn before the Boise State game when they had all those injuries, it was, hey, man, I want 55 plays. Slow this damn thing down to a crawl. And Casey Dunn thought his coach was insane saying that, but he said, get as close to it as you can. We want to slow the thing down and let our special teams and our defense win. They are, you know, you'll like this because Seinfeld had an episode about this. The Superman character, Bizarro Superman.
Yeah.
Right? That's from, I forget the actual planet that he's from, but basically Bizarro Superman, who is the actual antithesis of Superman in every way. Right? And he is basically supposed to be the mirror image of him, but he's the opposite of everything. And that is Oklahoma State, actually, to Texas. Texas wins games with elite offense because they're top five in the country offensively, and they win the game with elite special teams. Their special teams is really damn good. They're really good. But you look at Oklahoma State, they're top eight. If you look at SP Plus and
their special teams have been great.
Football Outsiders, FBI defensively. Yeah, and special teams, Pro Football Focus says they're the best special teams unit in the Big 12, second in the country in Pro Football Focus special teams overall grade. So they win the opposite way that Texas does. A little bit they're connected because they both win with special teams, but Texas does it offensively, they do it defensively, and both have below average phases of the game, which are offense for Oklahoma State, defense for Texas.
Yeah.
You got to drag that phase along with you, and hopefully it doesn't win you the game. And that may tell the story in this game, KD. What does Texas's defense do versus Oklahoma State offense? Because Oklahoma State beats them offensively that phase, the rest may cancel each other out.
I used to always do this, probably too much, but where I would say, you know, we're focused on strength, but sometimes, you know, or strength on weakness, but that would be strength on strength. Texas offense against the Oklahoma State defense.
Yeah.
What about weakness on weakness? This is a total sum game,
exactly right?
Right. And special teams is strength on strength too. So how does that play out? You know, we say complementary football a lot, but I almost feel like we do that. You know, we live in the let's protect everyone and not hurt any feelings world, which sometimes can be good. But on that, sometimes you're just saying, no, they've got a really crappy aspect we're not talking about. Oklahoma State plays complementary football. The more I watch them, I guess – if you want to use that term to define, they've got good special teams and a good defense and a crappy quarterback. Like, you know what I mean?
No, it's a great point. It's a spin zone.
It's a spin zone. It's like you could say that with Texas and be like, oh, by that we mean you can probably get 300 yards rushing.
Yeah, yeah. But you're right. Nobody wants
But it's complementing with a high-octane offense and a good special teams. So what you're telling me is those two units are good and that one sucks.
Totally agree. Nobody wants to play complimentary
right,
football.
Exactly. And it keeps them from not playing blowout football.
Nobody wants to have to play it. You would like all your team, your groups to be good so you don't have to balance, all right, the inadequacy of another phase.
Right.
Yeah, totally agree with you.
It's almost like it sounds like coach speak when you hear it.
No, I understand it, but you're right. I think it's
we're
more
playing
spin.
Complimentary football. By that, right. I mean I wouldn't give Spencer Sanders the keys to anything. Hey, thank you.
I think you're right. No, I think it's a spin. It's like, no, we could say, hey, man, we got two really good phases, and one of the phases is just it's a disaster.
Texas is in third and long, third and medium and long. They're going to be in trouble. So will Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State probably even more trouble. I think Texas, even with Whittington out, can bail themselves on some of that. If Oklahoma State's in that's when I'm going to be sitting back and waiting for my Lane Kiffin popcorn. Because, come on, Spencer, what do you got?
And that's all based on Texas being able to stop the run. Because they're gonna, they have a 71% run rate on first down. I'll make sure that stat's correct, but I believe that's the case when I was doing my research. So they want to run it and they want to slow it down. They don't care. They don't care if you know they're gonna run it. They want to run it right at you and slow the game down, and dare you to stop them, to stop them from getting first downs.
Oklahoma State has won 5 straight in Austin. They've won 5 of the past 6 games played in Austin. And they've won 7 of the past 11 matchups against Texas. So we talk about it also just trying to get through certain hurdles. And, I mean, it's one win against TCU, but you kind of break that streak. And, you know, they were 2-7 against them in the last 9.
Right.
And now you're facing an Oklahoma State team that has been a better Big 12 program than you. And that's what Sark's dealing with. It's not just OU ahead of you. You've got multiple programs that have been ahead of you. And you got to beat them on the field to prove that you're getting to that level.
Off to a good start, though. You know, beating Gary Patterson, matching wits with Gary Patterson, that's impressive.
Nice
guy to do it with Mike Gundy, who is the most tenured head coach in the Big 12. He's the grandpa.
He is.
In the Big 12. He's been around a long time.
I like some of their run schemes. We'll get into some of those a little bit later on, though, because they're adding little twists to run schemes that
and
we've seen before.
They're getting healthier.
They are getting healthier.
And
I don't
at the skill positions. That's
a
little
like that.
Scary.
Nah, that's true. I don't like that.
No, hell no, I don't like that. I think we admit that.
I want the kids to get
I'm
healthy.
I'm happy that they're healthy, but I don't like that necessarily for Texas.
Get healthy next week. All right, let's stay with Texas, but actually go to the hardwood because Texas Hoops are getting a ton of preseason love. We're getting close to college basketball. This is RBKD on the Horn.
Welcome back to RBKD. It is a Soul Train Thursday edition of RBKD. And
hey,
I got to tell
you're not going to talk about this, but I will. That was pretty cool. Matt was awesome.
We just had a great experience, Matt, and we met Susie as well.
Yeah.
Matt's mom. And I got to tell you, that it was – I kind of got chills. I think the hairs on my arm stood up a little
That's pretty cool. I enjoyed it. I didn't get chills.
Yeah,
he
basically told me that he saw that. Okay, I'll give you the crux of it. I won't give you the whole thing. That he had a friend who was into scouting, right? That was into scouting prospects.
Right.
And he would go on trips with him every now and then to go scout prospects. And the friend told him about a kid named Rod Babers as a junior. Here's why that's crazy. Because I didn't get a letter from a college until the off season before my senior year. I didn't get any letters.
I don't remember. I mean, I remember you.
I was a late bloomer.
Because I was following Sapp.
Yeah. Exactly. Sapp was the guy.
And I was hoping Sapp went to Texas, if not Notre Dame.
Exactly. And even Tim Brewster told me, who recruited me, Tim Brewster said, I was going there to see Sapp, and I saw you. And it was at the Side Creek game where I had 2 picks. And I returned one of them to the house, and I had a receiving touchdown. I just went off.
That's awesome.
I had like a Deion Sanders type game. It was amazing.
So you were lying. You did have hands back in the day.
Back in the day, I did. No, I did. I was receiving. Like I had one-handed grabs back in the day. I was cold, and psychologically, I got into my own head.
That's crazy, man.
But
you got Tim Tuffled.
That happened my senior year, though. That's when I had the breakout, and that's when Tim Brewster was like, "No, we got to get Sapp and Babers. We got to have both of them."
That's great.
When it kind of blew up.
But Matt saw you a year before.
He said my junior year that his friend said, no, you got to see Babers. He's the guy. And that's when Sapp blew up. Sapp had the blow up year.
He had some Lamar buddies. So
yes, he had some more. Man, that's crazy that he said
that. But he was living in Austin, went to UT, huge Texas fan, listens to the show, loves the show.
That's crazy.
And, yeah, that was cool. That was cool to hear.
Gave me chills, man. That was crazy to say because he's –
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it, brother.
Thanks, Matt. That means Matt's got a – I don't know whoever his scouting friend was. I hope he's still scouting because he's got a good eye.
He should be.
I'll just say that. But thank you to Matt and Susie. That was a great story there. Okay, let's talk
We're getting muskrated left and right.
Oh.
Get the exterminator out. We got muskrats.
Fantastic. Have I just been distracted around
here? We were talking to Matt, but okay. I was.
You got the Terminator.
I was doing both. I was listening to Matt, loving the story, getting chills about other things.
Well done, sir. How about that? You know, I was
high expectations here.
You know, I was captivated because I totally missed that. So there you go.
Demetrius, can we move this sign somewhere else?
Oh yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. that would be too obvious.
Actually, I think
we should move it back a little bit.
Okay, how about this? My man Brian Davis.
See aisle four.
Tweeted out the full list of preseason men's basketball awards from the Big 12 office. Said Media Day in Kansas City for Big 12 Media Days for men's basketball is going to be next week. But how about this? There's some Logan basketball fans who might be a little upset about this. They may be thinking that the Longhorns are not getting enough love in the Big 12 in the preseason, which is good. I like it. I like a hungry Chris Beard team, and he lives with a chip on his shoulder, so it's a good thing.
What did Augie say about what's in the water? Some of that that's in the water is getting rewarded before you've done anything.
Yeah, we have it. Well, that's
and it starts with the ride.
Honestly, he starts with the ride.
I got a ride to UT.
Yep. No, you're right. Honestly, I say it starts before that.
Yeah.
Texas high school football, with the coverage of it.
Should I get a Pierre Deterre in France?
Right.
You're not retiring yet, brother.
Yeah, but you know, the coverage of it, you know, you get – if you're a really good football player in Texas, you get interviewed all the time. Like, you know you're good. Oh, they tell you all the time, too.
Demetrius is the man. He actually did that, dude.
Demetrius, man. Shout out. Okay, so how about this? They said the preseason player of the year – Big 12 men's basketball is going to be Remy Martin from Kansas.
Arizona State transfer. And I loved his game at Arizona State. When Texas was going all in and seemingly getting everyone, I was waiting for Jordan to use his senior year to come play at Texas. I mean, you know, when they were getting everyone, I was like, Remy Martin's a guy that I saw a lot at Arizona State. You got Bobby Hurley and Guard U, as they call it, or whatever. But Remy's the real deal. I can see how he's preseason. Big 12 player of the year.
And what is he?
He's a guard, point guard. Yeah, he's senior. Oh, yeah. No, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. Remy for college basketball feels like.
I was going to say senior.
He was guarding Bobby Hurley.
Yeah, okay.
He's been around for a while.
Okay.
Small guy, so maybe that's it a little bit. But, I mean, hell, we've seen, you know, that's not going to necessarily stop you. There's obviously something the NBA scouts maybe haven't been all in love
with.
Yeah,
six foot.
He's a good player, dude. Really good player.
6 foot.
Yeah, and that could be that Marcus Carr matchup because Marcus Carr, I believe, is newcomer. Preseason newcomer of the year, and that's the kid from Minnesota who's going to run the point here.
Yeah, 6'2", 195. And he is the projected newcomer of the year in the Big 12. And that's, in terms of the Texas love, that's about where it stops. He also makes the preseason All-Big 12 team that they list here. Also, preseason freshman of the year projected to be Kendall Brown of Baylor. He's a combo guard that is out of Minnesota, actually. But anyway, he's projected to be the preseason freshman. Here's a preseason All-Big 12 team. Matthew Mayer out of Baylor.
Westlake.
Out of Westlake. Shout out.
He would have got some cookies here.
He would have been here a couple of times.
We missed on him, man. You know, we got two Westlake kids, and I love Brock Cunningham, and hopefully Will is doing all right and moving on. But, I mean, that would have been a guy to, you know – Scott Drew has done such a great job of developing talent.
He has, man.
And a lot of these guys, too, you end up being, now not mayor, but guys that don't play, redshirt, and then all of a sudden they're 21, 22. I mean, that's easily my favorite Baylor team in any sport of all time, outside of the 2003 equestrian team, which they could ride.
No, that was a hell of a team. I mean, I think both you and I picked them to win the national title when it came down to it.
We did. Remember that? BK was so set that they weren't winning. And I said, BK, they're going to blow them out.
Well, because
he walked in the next day and was like, man, I don't want to see you.
I will say you said the Zags are overrated. You had been saying it for like a month.
Yes.
That they were overrated. And they were historically good. And you had been like,
I was getting upset when people were saying, could they play 1990 UNLV? Stop it. Let's stop the performance art. Let's handle reality when it's in front of us, and it's okay to say that no, they would lose by 40.
Prisoner of the moment stuff.
Yes,
it upset you a little bit. Yeah, no, I remember that. But you were right though.
I was right.
You were around the money.
Damn right, I was right.
I don't think I heard anybody with that take early on, and it turned out you were around the money. Is it? Make sure I get this name right, because if I'm mispronouncing it, I apologize. Is it Oshai Agbaji?
Agbaji, I believe.
Agbaji? Okay. If I mispronounce it, I apologize. I'm not. That's not my
intention. No, cancel him.
Out of Kansas. Out of Kansas.
Let me see your emails.
He looks, man, he's 6'5", 215, looking really good. Let me see my emails. You can see him. Honestly, I would publish
too.
My emails today.
People would be so bored with my emails.
My emails are so
bored. They would also
boring.
Realize I don't like emailing, because you've seen that. Like, how succinct am I with emails?
No, cool. I can see that.
Okay.
Yeah. You're like,
thumbs up.
You wish you could put emojis out via email.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I'm
he wouldn't even type in the full sure.
Yeah, I have no problem revealing my emails right now. I would put them all out there if all the participating parties would agree. I'd put them
you
out there.
Go through all of mine in 2 hours.
They're so boring. My text, different discussion. But most of my texts are actually pretty PG-13, too. It's just, have I sexted before? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I don't want people to have that information.
Right.
Yeah. I don't send a junk shot to somebody and then have that accessible to the public.
Probably said something that it wouldn't have been anything like Gruden, but something that was mean on a tweet about someone else.
Exactly.
That I wouldn't want that to get out.
You don't want that to get out.
It wouldn't be cancelable, but I don't want
that person to know.
Cheryl knowing that, you know, I think she's a B.
Exactly. Or somebody think like, oh man, that dude's boring as hell to talk to. Whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm with you on that stuff. Because exactly, I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings in that way. Okay, anyway, getting back to the list. Remy Martin also on the preseason All Big 12 list. He is projected to be the player of the year in the Big 12. No surprise there. Talking about Marcus Carr, projected to be the newcomer of the year. And he is also on the preseason All-Big 12 team, Muskrat. David McCormack of Kansas is also projected to be on the team as well. He is a, man, 6'10", 250 senior there. A lot of seniors.
Yeah.
A lot of veterans.
We've seen McCormack
a lot. Last time
you've
seen this many seniors? Hell, I mean, it's a ton.
A lot. And I think, you know, it's good to see. I mean, we talked about it with college basketball last year. You're going to have as veteran a college basketball teams as you've had in a long time.
It's one
and
junior on the All Big 12.
We're kind of seeing that
team.
A little bit this year.
One
so,
junior.
Right.
That's really rare in college basketball. You've been watching more than me, but that to me seems really rare. That's crazy. Terrence Shannon from Texas Tech. Also, he's the only junior, actually, since I just talked about it. He's the only junior on the preseason All Big 12 team.
I'm interested to see how Baylor rebounds, because prior to 2021, Baylor's three best NCAA tournament endings were the Elite Eight in 2010 and 2012, Sweet 16 runs in 2014 and 2017, and in three of those four seasons that followed those, Baylor didn't make the tournament. That gets back to the rebuilding. We're really developing guys, and once we lose all them, so they lose. I mean, look at the guys they lose. Jared Butler, Macy Oteague, Gabion Mitchell, Mark Vidal. So let's see how the guys are still there, but the guys they've been developing come back.
And he likes the transfer portal too.
He does, yeah.
So that's why those reinventions are quicker, right, for him.
Yep.
And Chris Beard, of course, I think he's one of the great examples of that too, of course. And how he just remade the Texas roster in one offseason. Here are the honorable mentions just really quickly.
A couple Texas guys in there, I believe.
Yes, Andrew Jones makes the honorable mention preseason All-Big 12 team. And Trey Mitchell. Also, as well, get some love there. The other is Tash Sherman out of West Virginia, Mike Miles out of TCU, James Akinjo out of Baylor, Avery Anderson from Oklahoma State, and I'm sure I'm going to mess his name up, but Musa Sissy out of Oklahoma State.
You nailed it.
Did I do?
He's a sissy.
No, I'm sure I screwed it up. But
I'm sure.
I didn't mean to.
I'm sure that had to suck for him whenever he was having a bad
it's
practice.
It's C-I-S-S-E. How do you...
I think it's
Kissy? Is it Kissy?
Kissy, yeah.
Kissy?
I think that's it.
I mean,
Sissy.
I have no idea. I apologize. I'm not trying to mispronounce it.
In terms of Texas, I mean, really the question is how do all these guys fit together, right? And yeah. how do you put all these new faces together? How quickly have they been able to bond? One thing we know about basketball, really good basketball teams. We saw it with Baylor last year for sure, and Gonzaga, in fairness to them, was – these guys, you could tell they played a lot of ball together.
Yeah,
and
they did.
Basketball teams are like offensive lines, Rod.
Totally.
The more time they have together, the more hours spent. It's the whole 10,000-hour rule. Mm-hmm. It's the Beatles. Now, the Beatles are going to be great, but the Beatles were also – one of the things that made them great was they've been playing together forever, man.
Yep, that's right.
They knew exactly what the other one was going to do.
Yeah. No, Malcolm Gladwell. Love that. It's a great
analogy. Malcolm Gladwell, 10,000-hour rule.
Well done, brother.
Devin Eskew, Carr, Trey Mitchell, Timmy Allen, Christian Bishop. How do all those guys work with Courtney Ramey and Andrew Jones and Brock and some of the guys that will be coming back?
Starting group is going to be, who do you think?
That's a good question.
Marcus Carr, Courtney Ramey,
Brock Cunningham,
Jace Febres, Christian Bishop.
You know what? You may even see Brock start for them.
I think it's
completely up in the air, and I think it'll be fluid too.
And I don't know if it'll matter that much. The way he's going to rotate.
He's going to rotate him, and that second unit they want to be really strong. I think that second unit, I saw Jeff Goodman, who's been in Austin covering Texas, and Goodman said he was talking about the first unit that was at least practicing, and he said this second unit would be a top 25 team. Now, are some of those guys, as the season goes on, probably going to either get starter time or are they going to be pushed up to the starting lineup? Yeah, that could definitely happen. But, I mean, Ramey and Jones combined to take 586 shots last season. I don't think that's going to be the case. So my question is also, how do those guys fit in with a much more talented roster where there's not as much weight on their shoulder?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Rod, I got you a safety, two safeties, and another good cornerback and a good defensive line now. I don't need you to do what you did last year.
No, it's a great point.
Thank you very much.
Before
brother.
We go to break, here's that Jeff Goodman tweet that Katie was referencing, at Goodman Hoops. Starting group today, and this was
two days ago, the 12th.
Starting group for today is Marcus Carr, Courtney Ramey, Brock Cunningham, Jace Febres, and Christian Bishop. That means second unit could be, in essence, Andrew Jones, Devin Eskew, Timmy Allen, Dylan Dessous, and Trey Mitchell.
Which is actually a more talented
lineup
says than the,
that
than the first one.
He says that second unit might be ranked in the top 25.
There it is.
Yeah.
I saw someone on CBS today who had Texas 10th overall, and he said, whereas most pundits will have Texas in the top five, I'm going to tap the brakes on the UT hype. But the fact that he has them 10th overall preseason and starts off his analysis by apologizing and knowing he's going to take national college basketball crap. Not we're putting Deshaun Jameson on PFF, and it should be Bijan Robinson, and I'm getting all the clickbait from Austin and Texas fans. He knew nationally people would be like, bro, you're underrating him. That shows you how quickly.
At 10. Wild. Yeah.
When I was a kid, if Texas would have been preseason top 10 in college basketball, I would have lost my mind.
Yeah, and you'd
my
be,
mind.
And you would have been the only one because nobody would have cared. But
how
now people
dare
care.
You. They do care. They do
now
care.
Now people care.
Last year for the Irwin Center, let's send the drum out. Well, should be a big weekend for Texas, and that's on the football field. Got some big names, obviously Arch, but other guys that are coming in. God, there's just a lot riding on this weekend. You want to get back on the horse and get a W, but the Big 12 is wide open. And as Rod and I talked about, this season for Sark in year one is wide open. It could go a lot of different directions as we sit here October 14th. We'll tell you about some of those big names that are coming in up next. We're at Randall's 3300 B-Caves in Westlake. We're registering people for that game, Texas and Oklahoma State. This is RBKD on the Horn. Welcome back. Get some nice funk. Some Soul Train on a Thursday. John Reichel misses seeing us, man. He got 3 days of us. We just seeing him. He is back at the studio. John, what are you playing here?
This is Holy Ghost by the Barcades.
Nice. I like that. No one fans have the Holy Ghost. This is for the first quarter of that Texas OU game. And then... They got confronted with the devil.
Oh, man, they did. And his name was Lincoln Riley.
And his name was Lincoln.
And he made the change. God, poor defense. Even when they're playing, this has not been their year. They're obviously not playing well a lot of the time. But when they are, they end up forcing a move that ends up hurting them.
And honestly, I will give the defense this, though. Yes, they are struggling, but they've played some of the better offenses in the country.
Yeah.
You know, the Lincoln Riley, you know, Oklahoma, that's one of the better offenses. I know people don't like, you know, Texas Tech, but Texas Tech, you can look at all the metrics. Texas Tech offense is actually one of the higher-ranked offenses out there. Arkansas's offense is pretty highly rated. I mean, we can go over those numbers later. So they've played offenses that are actually pretty good.
And different ones. You got Columbia chunking it on you, and you got Arkansas running outside zone and cutting back on you.
Yeah, he's had different styles, too. So no excuse. I'm not making excuses, but they've actually played really good offense.
They have. No, no. You're just being fair right there. Man, so we talked about just how big a game this is for Texas. You win this, you got the bye week, you'll be sitting at 5-2 and only one loss in the conference, and you're looking at this conference, which is as wide open as I can remember it, right?
I agree with you
on
that.
Maybe 2013?
Yeah, I got to go back and look. I don't know if it was this wide open, though.
Texas, we don't think of that Texas team being that good,
but you're right. Yeah, you're right.
If they win that game in Waco.
Great point. They win the
conference or have a share of it.
No, you're right. That was pretty wide open. Okay. That's probably the last time.
But this one feels more wide open because honestly,
because like Oklahoma doesn't feel that like they can go undefeated for the whole year, right?
That's a huge part of it. It doesn't feel that way.
Somebody's gonna get Oklahoma. We just don't know who it is.
Someone's gonna get them, and then it's who's that other team? We've kind of buried Iowa State, but Iowa State traditionally gets a hell of a lot better as the year goes on.
They do. Yep, and that's why for Texas, I hate them having that game late in the year.
God, wish they would have kicked that in July.
Exactly.
As Charlie Kohler and Chase Allen are getting patted on the back.
Yeah, I'd love to have that game like right after the Oklahoma game if you could have gotten it. But you're right; they're going to be a better team at the end of the year, and that's statistically the argument is they're the best defense in the Big 12 right now.
Yep,
Iowa State is, and I know their record doesn't reflect that, but their defense is tough. And yes, they played the three safety look that gave Steve Sarkisian so much, you know, so many issues, I should say, versus Arkansas. Yeah.
So 98, we talked about how big that year is. I can see the similarities with 98 with Sark and then obviously Mac back then, and it's your first year and you're trying to turn some narratives, and part of that is on the recruiting trail.
Yep.
Actually, a lot of that is. It can be the lifeblood of your program. And we've talked about it before, the Isidore Newman five-star quarterback, Arch Manning, out of New Orleans. He's coming to Austin. He had a great visit, apparently, this summer, and this is going to be big. Actually, Sark will be at the Isidore Newman game on Thursday night to watch Manning play.
Nice.
And then Saturday, they're going to be Arch will be in town. So, you know, we've heard that it's down between Texas and Georgia. I wouldn't count out Alabama and what they're doing.
Exactly.
Apparently Clemson and Ole Miss are in there as well. But with the type of year Georgia's having, you just want to get as much momentum as possible. So Arch is the main guy, but he's not the only guy, Rod. And you know this on recruiting trips. You can get some friendships and bonds that are built. And of a sudden, it's like, hey, man, maybe we should do this together. You've got the nation's number two interior offensive lineman, Ernest Green, and also five-star Devin Campbell, who I think since the day you were gone, we talked with Jeff Howe. I spent a segment just – I was like, all right, let me pick your brain on recruiting. He was like, Campbell's one of those guys.
He's deciding between, like, Texas, like Oklahoma. Is in the mix with him, too.
Some people have him as the country's number one interior offensive lineman.
Okay. Yeah, need that guy.
Need that guy. So they're going to be in. Other three officials this weekend will be five-star safety Jacoby Matthews, who's a former LSU commit who recently said that A&M is on top, but the burnt orange is charging here. By the way, shout out to Horn or to 24/7 Sports. They did a good article on this, and as we know with Jeff Howe, they're always a great source to go in and find this stuff out. Quincy Wiggins, love the name.
I like that. It's a nice name.
Who would be a D-line guy for them, and then also four-star offensive tackle Malik Ogbo, and also former Arizona State defensive back commit Larry Turner Gooden. They've all been on the radar, and so this is going to be a huge weekend. Could be Jahlil Skinner too, who's the number one tight end. He could be coming in. This is going to be one of those weekends, Rod. There's just a lot on the line here.
Yeah, and you know the thing.
Not that if they win they come, or if they lose they don't.
Yeah,
but the whole atmosphere, just the energy of everything.
Certain positions,
and
too.
Dub.
Yeah, and certain positions, you got to be, you know, the pitch has got to be to these guys that you can play right away. Offensive line, defensive line, secondary. I mean, they're, you're right. Hey, man, I know that, you know, Texas right now, they're not talent deficient at a lot of positions, but there's room for true freshman to play right away. And Xavier Worthy is also another example.
I would argue they are deficient at some positions.
Well, I'm sorry, a lot of positions.
A lot of positions,
yeah. But you're right, they are. That's what I'm saying. D-line, O-line, and defensive back, I think right now, yeah, freshmen could play if they were really good.
Come in and do it.
Come in and play right now.
And honestly, if you this doesn't happen a lot, but if you are a big-time offensive lineman, you could come in. I know a lot of times we want to redshirt them, but if you're already a grown-ass man, come on in and you could play.
It's tough for
may not be ideal, but you may be the best of the five.
It's possible. It has been that case for Texas in the past.
If Brockermeyer's here right now, he's probably one of the best five of certainly the five they have right now.
Yeah, no question.
Right?
Yeah. And if you get Devin Campbell in here, he'd be probably one of your best five interior.
Devin, you're starting at guard.
Yeah.
Even if we move you out. Yeah. So big weekend for Texas. Reuben Owens, also Anthony Hill. Anthony Hill is one of the top-rated linebackers.
Is that the black unicorn, Reuben Owens? The black unicorn?
Anthony?
Huh? Reuben Owens?
Or no, Reuben Owens. I think that is it.
He's the black unicorn? Okay, yeah. God, basically, he's going wherever Arch Manning goes, is the world in the street.
So they are big-time
like
buddies.
Linked. Yeah.
He's a running back. Yeah. And, yeah, they're linked.
They're linked, apparently.
God, Arch could be that straw, man.
Yeah. If he decides that he's going wherever, it could end up, you know, calling kind of a windfall of recruiting momentum.
Yeah.
A ton of it.
It could. We had that in –
with Sims.
Sims in Redding.
Yeah, Sims and Corey Redden.
That was the 99 class, right?
Number one and number two players in the country decided to commit to Mack Brown in Texas.
God, that
game
was
over.
So huge.
It was huge.
I was at a party at the Delt House when we got word that remember, because we weren't online back then. But I'm hitting up Suzanne Halliburton's number a lot.
Diva.
Hitting up Suzanne. We're trying to find ways, and we had heard that Sims was decommitting from Tennessee and going to Texas. Wow. I mean, that party just took a different turn.
Crazy. And then who'd know later.
Chicks are like, why are y'all so happy now?
And 3 years later, they're throwing beer bottles at them.
Yeah, I know.
Life comes at you fast.
Man, it does. It does. We're at Randall's 3300 B Caves in Westlake. We're registering people for those Texas-Oklahoma State tickets. Maybe you can get a firsthand look at some of those recruits that are going to be in town. Good news for the Cowboys. News just keeps on getting better. They're getting some help, getting some key pieces back. Man, the metrics on the O-line. This O-line may even be better than our eyes are telling us. Mm-hmm. And we'll also mix in the Texans. Tyrod's ready to start whenever he's healthy. We'll see if they let him do it. This is The Horn.